You know what that means? You're tuned into Everything Under the Sun, Sopra Sun's weekly radio show, Thursdays at 4. I am your co-host, Yusena Benavides.
And I'm your host, Raleigh Burley. We've got Yusenia on the board, training up our audio engineer. Thank you, Yusenia.
Of course.
And who's our guest today, Yusenia?
Our guest today is A.O.
A.O. Forbes, local legend. Many people know A.O. from his time at CRMS. How long have you been in the Valley, A.O.?
I moved back here in 86, but I grew up in Aspen. I moved there in 58, went to Aspen schools, and then my mother was going to send me east to get polished, and... Wells Kerr, who was a teacher at CRMS, was the ex-dean of Exeter. And so I interviewed with him, and he persuaded my mother to send me to CRMS, which was, I didn't want to go anywhere, but it was better than going back to the east anyway.
Okay, so you grew up in Aspen, you went out east, and then came back for CRMS to teach or to
study? No, we stayed. I went all through Aspen schools from second grade through eighth and came to CRMS as a freshman in 1965.
Wow, great.
A so long time ago.
You've seen some changes.
Yes, I have.
Well, and we were just speaking before going on the air about what prompted you to be writing a column in the Sopra Sun. You had written a column for Aspen Daily News.
Right.
Speaking to that very experience of growing up and right. seeing those changes.
Right.
And then given where you live now and maybe the culture of Aspen compared with Carbondale, felt like the Sopra Sun was a better fit for what you wanted to write?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't live in Aspen, and it seems quite distant, even though it's proximate geographically. It's just a different world. It was the most generous place to grow up, I can imagine. My teachers were amazing, and the town was small, and I think you quoted that notion. It was a town of small houses with big hearts, which I think encapsulates kind of my whole time there. And it's just big now and different. And I've lived in Carbondale, so I kind of love this community, teaching here. And anyway.
Yeah?
It's a fit for me, a much more intimate fit.
Mm-hmm. And so you recently, just a few years ago, retired from CRMS.
Right.
But you continue teaching this Tomorrow Voices class that's actually at Roaring Fork High School.
Right.
And is that inclusive to any Valley students, or is it specifically Roaring Fork High School students?
It's Basalt, Roaring Fork, Glenwood High School, Yampa, Bridges, and this last few years CRMS is sending students there, which is what I wanted initially. Uh-huh. I just feel like any kinds of integrating kinds of experiences where you bring kids from all these places together, students, is always worthwhile, beneficial, and kind of facilitates a much tighter community. So,
well, and we have a unique opportunity for today's show because Yusenia herself was a student of yours in the Tomorrow Voices class.
She still is.
Yes.
She still is.
Yes, still am.
So we're going to talk about her grades. No.
Stellar.
Stellar. Yusenia, could you tell me a little bit about what this class is about?
Yes. the first semester I took political science, and being honest, I want to do political science in major in it, but I did it because like you get college credits, which was a really good thing. But like being in the class, you really get to see different perspectives, because even right now going to class, the talks that we talk about are not something that I would think of, or like how you guys say, it's like very entertaining and very something new to learn. And I've like made friends from different from Basalt and from different schools when we had more people from Glenwood last semester. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me sometimes to talk, but when I do, I enjoy having my perspective heard.
Yeah, it seems based on the columns, which often quote students, like it's a very philosophical class.
I would absolutely. I grew up in a education and kind of life seemed pretty separated, and I, for me, this is kind of a reflect all the kinds of politics, if that's what we want to call it. Have to, I think, at some point, start with the individual, mm-hmm. and so for me, it's an existential kind of journey to figure out kind of what you believe in. And concepts like justice and freedom and equality, you know, justice, I think, is a very complicated, sophisticated notion that we take for granted. But for me, the spirit of justice is fairness. So one of the things that I think is hard to kind of wrap your head around intellectually, mm-hmm. to be fair, you have to treat people differently. And so you have these wonderful nuanced kinds of perspectives about kind of who you want to be. For me, the class is about building identity, your personal identity, and then a national identity that is connected to you so that you have some investment in it and you understand it. So for me, it is very much about kind of what you believe in as an individual. You know, that's where it might – I think it logically starts – both intellectually and spiritually, or you know, emotionally.
Well, and you've been teaching the class for, I think you mentioned, 24 years.
Yeah.
So interesting too. I'm just thinking of the circumstances of today. There's probably a lot to talk about, but there probably has been throughout those 24 years different, you know, current events unfolding that you get to use as a touchstone to then talk about topics.
Right. It's, you know, concepts like Hannah Arendt is an existential philosopher, and she talks about power and force. And to me, those are so relevant. I think we are kind of addicted to force, which to me is coercive. Power is an intrinsically kind of, it's like more like a king-esque, mountain of king kind of, where you're choosing to, you know, and your choice is honored and stuff. And so those are really subtle, you know, I think terms and freedom and justice and equality are also, you know, the whole kind of democratic purpose of this country for me is very, it's aspirational, it's big, it's complicated, and I don't know that, I think it demands, if you're going to participate in any kind of discerning engagement, you have to kind of understand kind of where you are with all that stuff. And so it's almost, you can do, it's wonderfully exciting intellectually, and I think the concepts remain steady and the circumstances change dramatically mm-hmm. lately. And so it's, for me, it's about just knowing what I believe in so that I can act on it. And we talk about in class all the time, humans, there's a wonderful geographic principle that talks about humans have values and then we act on them. But often what we value and how we act are two, if you circled each one in concentric circles, they would be pretty disparate. And the point would be to get your values and your actions kind of coalescing in a cogent kind of circle so that you're kind of walking your talk. And
integrity.
Exactly. And it's not an outdated concept, even though I think it's frightening to see how malleable people's integrity is these days, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's about character, which is, I think, what we just wrote about too, yeah.
Yeah, reclaiming character was the theme of this week's column, this
right.
month's column that's in this week's edition of the Soper Sun. And you even quote some Shakespeare.
I do. Wells Kerr, the same person that convinced my mother not to send me away to school, was the Shakespeare teacher then, and he was probably in mid-80s, deafer than I am, and just this incredibly enthusiastic person. And he said, if you need to know who you are, just read some Shakespeare. You'll figure out what your, if you have character and what it is and stuff. It was, I loved him. I loved just hanging out with him. Mm-hmm. He was so caring and concerned about, and he understood kind of as a teenager what confusion looked like, you know, in terms of who you wanted, you know, what you believed in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yesenia, you mentioned making friends from Glenwood and having the opportunity to have your perspective heard. And through reading this column, I understand there's been like a lot of guests as well, or some guests in the class. What's like a one highlight or takeaway for you that you feel like was impactful, whether that was a guest or a concept?
I've enjoyed all the guests, but I think the guest that most was impactful for me was, I don't remember his name, but he did a climbing. Do you remember his name?
Is it Auden? Just a week or two ago?
No, from last semester.
Oh, the Palestinian.
Yeah, the Palestinian.
Bisharet.
So he started off his document like saying that he didn't think that the trip or teaching climbing would be as impactful, but when he went,
let me help you. He went to the West Bank. Mm-hmm. He is Palestinian. He went back to kind of figure out, I think he wanted to reclaim some
heritage
connections, yeah, and heritage. And so he brought this climbing movie. He's a big climber and a rock climbing author and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you were.
Yes. He like created connections with the people there and connected. Well, he went to go visit his old house, and the way and like the imagery he used in his video with the connections of the people really touched me. Like, and seeing his emotions, his pathos in the video really did impact me. But I think the most impactful thing that I've taken from the class is like the difference between equity and equality. Mm-hmm. Those two different things I think were like the biggest, and I think my morals have definitely changed since then.
Yeah, I have an image in my mind. It was a meme. I don't remember where I saw it. Maybe you both have seen it.
Was it like the
kid
steps?
On ladders.
Yeah, everybody's trying to see a baseball game.
Yeah.
They're different heights, and equality is they all stand on the same ground, and the short person can't see over the fence. Equity is that, you know, there are boxes that they are standing on according to their height, so they all get to see. Mm-hmm. The same. Right.
I think I think it's obvious, but I don't think we see it that way often. To be fair, you treat people differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it rubs people the wrong way. And I think the 14th Amendment, all these different things that you can bring in that are specific examples of our intentions to create equity, but we're stuck on equality, maybe because it's easier to measure. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Everybody the same ladder, you can. It's just a much more empirically verifiable kind of, you know, it's tricky. Mm-hmm. And I think the Constitution is, you know, spirit of justice is fairness, and fairness is treating people differently, you know. And so it's all kind of connected in this wonderful kind of, not complicated, but nuanced terms, I think, that we worship as values.
Yeah, maybe fairness is just... Where, you know, to treat people the same is simple. It doesn't right. require too much thought. But to be truly fair
right.
is to treat people differently, which is a very interesting kind of contradiction. I think people might hear that phrase and it doesn't seem logical, but right. then when you think about it, it is.
Well, you have classes, and you guys want me to treat you fairly or equally? At first blush, equally. And I said, "Well, are you all equal?" And maybe not. So, shouldn't I treat you fairly? You know, you can get. It's a wonderful circular. It always comes out the same way, but it's circular in its beginnings and stuff. I love talking about that stuff, or you know, having conversations about it. It's interesting, and yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yesenia, do you have any questions based on...
Kinda, yes. Mm-hmm. Based on this also, and like just throughout your experience teaching this class, how has it ever felt like the conversations are the same throughout the 25 years of teaching?
Not at all. It's remarkably... I think I said this in your class. I've read King's letter from Birmingham jail maybe 50 times, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And you all collectively always come up with something. I said, where is that in there? And invariably, it's, so my point is that everybody brings, I think, a perspective mm-hmm. that's very personal. And the way you react to it is absolutely personal. And I think it's sophisticated, you know, notions of the one in he quotes someone who talks about to do things that are harmful to people, you have to separate yourself. Separation is sin, he says, and separation in a physical sense is segregation. But to do something harmful to somebody, you have to separate yourself from your conscience. And I think that's an incredibly important observation, because we're not, as humans, that's not something I think we do with relative ease. I think, conscience is big.
Yes.
And so, it's never the same. There's a core of things that are similar, but you guys always add a wonderfully personal kind of look at it.
I have a different question. Mm-hmm. I guess for somebody who is really stuck on a plan and wanting to know what step is next, what advice would you give for thinking freely and fairly and outside?
That's a great question. There's a whole lot of things. I think, Auden the other night talked about listening, mm-hmm. which I don't think is particularly easy, particularly when you're attached to a position and stuff. So, I mean, just the act of listening and then speaking is huge. But Isaac Gerber, who is where this whole seeking haystacks came from, wrote this thing that's a lot of, he's quoted a lot, particularly in the beginnings, talking about putting yourself in a place where you're willing to be moved. And I think that's a huge place. It's an aspirational place to be. It's not easy. But if you're willing to be moved, then you're willing to listen. You're willing to kind of, not be stuck in some rigid paradigm that, mm-hmm. And the other thing for me is that my whole life in this valley has been, I've been such the recipient of such generous, wonderful teachers, people, students. And so if you come into this place where you expect people to kind of bring their best, I think people do. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of facilitates what you're after, which is you're going to receive advice, you're going to receive support, you're going to receive things that really help you, mm-hmm. and develop relationships. The other night you guys all said that you thought we were inherently kind of selfish as people. And Kay Gianetti, who used to be in the class in 2006 or something, he said the thing that lessens selfishness is community, because community brings out or amplifies relationships. And once you have a relationship with someone, you probably are going to be much more selfless than selfish. And I think that's true. Mm-hmm. And going back to King, once you have a relationship, you're no longer separated. And for me, that's the leverage that allows us to bring our best selves to whatever we're doing, which is a pretty wonderful place to come from.
So I get the impression that it's a two-way street, that you bring concepts, essays, knowledge to share with your students, but it sounds like you also receive a lot of that wisdom from the students themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, I go home and my litmus test is to read something to Janice, and if she starts to cry, I know it's really good and I better pay attention. the stuff that, Jane Taylor is in this thing, Isaac's in that, a girl from CRMS is in, Reynes Vasquez, who was from Basalt and went to CRMS and to Stanford and anywhere, but she's in there too. And I read these things and I'm kind of, it's what you were saying a minute ago. It's never the same, and it's always interesting. Yeah.
For our listeners tuned in, you're tuned in to Everything Under the Sun, Sober Sun's weekly radio show. We are here with A.O. Ford. Sorry. And, well.
And you?
I'm Yesenia Benavides, and we're with
Raleigh Burley. Yeah, thanks. A.O. Forbes, teacher at Roaring Fork High School, the Tomorrow's Voices class, which is a dual credit class, as Yesenia told us. She's earning college credit there, so that's a great incentive for these students. But I've also, you know, I didn't take this class. I don't know. I missed the opportunity somehow when I was a Roaring Fork High School student. But I hear about it often, and I'm so proud as editor of the Sopra Sun that we get to share out some of the wisdom that your students share with you and the way that you set it up as well. And we've had some really positive feedback as well. One letter that I shared with you. How has the experience been for you? Have you done anything like writing a monthly column before? And what kind of feedback do you get? How's that experience been?
It's delightful. I've never done this until I wrote one thing, which you mentioned, for the Aspen Daily, kind of out of a fit of indignation. And then I thought I need to kind of, I don't think I ranted in any way, shape, or form, but I thought, you know, the way to kind of disseminate this stuff is to write something monthly. So this is really the first, I think we've been doing it for 6-7 months or something. Mm-hmm. And I get nervous about it. My sister edits, thank God for small mercies. And it's been really, I've loved it, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm kind of messing around with how to contextualize a lot of what they say. But it goes back to, you know, John Dewey was an educational philosopher, and at CRMS, John Holden loved John Dewey. And so education, in his eyes, was contextualized within community. And so for me, this is one way to kind of offer what I think are wonderful sentiments that people in the community are thinking about the issues and how to participate as a, you know, a conscientious, discerning human being and citizen and all the other roles that, that we're all playing in this valley. And no, I've loved it. I'm feeling like I keep searching for something, you know, there's a lot of redundancy in when you kind of write about, you know, personal reflections and stuff. And so the trick for me is to make it, you know, a different angle, a different window open into kind of who we are. And I think that's definitely going to get more challenging as you do more of these, but it's fun to try to write something kind of cogent and personal.
Yeah, so
but thank you for the opportunity. I mean, I so appreciate it.
Well, we really appreciate having your voice and also the students' voices in the newspaper. Are you ever surprised by the perspectives, the stories, the sentiments that your students feel and share with you?
I would say that the creation of the Seeking Haystacks, and Haystack, it's this Isaac Gerber who is now at the University of Chicago, but were you in class with me? I think it's a year ago when he was there last spring too, but he wrote this, at the end of class, people speak for about 5 minutes, and the prompt that he spoke to, and that I all spoke to, was, you know, the world is in a contentious kind of ecologically and moral, you know, it's, things are pretty fragile, I think, and there's a lot of adversarial kinds of comments and stuff. And most people spoke to or wrote about more taxes or carbon taxes or something fiscal and something, you know, kind of legal, or, you know, he wrote about Monet looking at haystacks, and I thought, God, so Monet painted haystacks, but he studied haystacks, and the whole exchange between light and dark, and metaphorically, you know, light and dark, you know, in terms of our personalities and stuff, and I was taken away by the whole kind of uniqueness of his approach, but also that to put yourself in a state where you are appreciative and you're bringing your best, and you're in what David James Duncan calls a state of wonder, which he says is the same as love, but not romantically inclined, so that you're willing to be moved And if you can pull your best self into each and everything you do, carbon taxes and all the other things are less relevant and less contentious. And there's a relationship that you can leverage so that we can move the community forward in ways that are more kind of inspired and discerning and you know, and healthy for all. Yeah.
So it matters a lot how we're showing up.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, there's an article in there. Martin Millard Farmer came to CRMS years ago. I'd called him because we were reading Dead Man Walking. I said, I don't understand this. He had this southern drone. I said, I can't tell this over the phone. I'll have to come out next week. So he flew out, came to my class. And then I had him come back
for
King Days, you know, three or four times. And I just did this at CRMS the other day. And yes, he came in and came to CRMS the morning meet, or Sunday night meeting. He said, I'm going to ask you guys a question tomorrow. And I want you to think about it. And we're all going, okay. This is, you know, King's lawyer. This guy is formidable and funny and big and incredible presence. So we're all, okay, and what is Martin? It's King's birthday tomorrow. What do you think Martin wants for his birthday? So we all go home going, oh, good God, we're in way over our head. You know, we're all terrified we're going to make a fool of ourselves. He said, he doesn't want pants. He doesn't want shirt or tie. He want, you know. So he comes back the next day, and I'm sitting, you know, hoping he will never call on me, and we're all kind of on edge. And Ben Ailey, who was there, his mother, was, he gets up, and I think Martin just wants us to bring our best selves to his party. Millard roared with laughter, and yet just that simple, isn't it? And that's, to me, is kind of, you know, the mantra that I think, yeah, if we just did that and we really were connected to ethical kinds of terms and stuff, we understood them, we understood how we fit into it, we wouldn't have to waste so much time, mm-hmm. you know, what we're doing these days, arguing and, you know, and the world is paying a pretty steep price for our lack of character, I think. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
We are just about out of time for today's show. So I want to thank you, A.O. Forbes.
Thank you guys so much. Yeah,
making the time, coming down to Katie and Kay to chat with us today. For folks who haven't read it yet, Reclaiming Character, the latest in the Seeking Haystacks series, is in this week's Sopra Sun, along with a lot of other good content. Any closing thoughts for us?
Oh, just thank you all. Yesenia, thank you so much.
Of course.
Thank you, Yesenia. And great job engineering today. We appreciate you stepping up into responsibility.
Thank you.
You guys are amazing.